Yajnavalkya came to Janakavideha and did not mean to speak with him. But when earlier Janakavideha and Yajnavalkya had had a disputation on the Agnihotra, Yajnavalkya had granted him a boon, and he had chosen for the boon that he might be free to ask him any question he liked. Yajnavalkya had granted it, and thus the king was the first to ask him a question. Yajnavalkya, he said, what is the light of man? Yajnavalkya replied, the sun, O king, for, having the sun alone for his light, man sits, moves about, does his work, and returns. Janakavideha said, so indeed it is, O Yajnavalkya. Janakavideha said, when the sun has set, O Yajnavalkya, what is then the light of man? Yajnavalkya replied, the moon indeed is his light. For, having the moon alone for his light, man sits, moves about, does his work, and returns. Janakavideha said, so indeed it is, O Yajnavalkya. Janakavideha said, when the sun has set, O Yajnavalkya, and the moon is not there, what is the light of man? Yajnavalkya replied, fire indeed is his light. For, having fire alone for his light, man sits, moves about, does his work, and returns. Janakavideha said, when the sun has set, O Yajnavalkya, and the moon is not there, and the fire is gone out, what then is the light of man? Yajnavalkya replied, sound indeed is his light. For, having sound alone for his light, man sits, moves about, does his work, and returns. Therefore, O king, when one cannot see even one's own hand, yet when a sound is raised, one goes towards it. Janakavideha said, so indeed it is, O Yajnavalkya. Janakavideha said, when the sun has set, O Yajnavalkya, and the moon is not there, and the fire is gone out, and the sound is stilled, what then is the light of man? Yajnavalkya said, the self indeed is his light. For, having the self alone as his light, man sits, moves about, does his work, and returns. Janakavideha said, who is that self? Yajnavalkya replied, he who is within the heart, surrounded by the pranas, senses, the person of light consisting of knowledge. He, remaining the same, wanders along the two worlds, as if thinking, as if moving. During sleep, in dream, he transcends this world and all the forms of death, all that falls under the sway of death, all that is perishable. That person, on being born, on entering a body, becomes united with all sins. When he dies, leaves the body, he leaves all sins behind. And there are two states for that person, the one here in this world, the other in the other world, and as a third, an intermediate state, the state of sleep. When in that intermediate state, he sees both these states together, the one here in this world and the other in the other world. Now, whatever his admission to the other world may be, having gained that admission, he sees both the sins and the blessings. And when he falls asleep, then after having taken away with him the material from the whole of this world, destroying and building it up again, he sleeps in a world of his own brilliance by his own light. In that state, the person is self-illuminated. There are no real chariots in that state, no horses, no roads, but he himself sending forth from himself chariots, horses, and roads. There are no blessings there, no pleasures, no joys, but he himself sending forth from himself blessings, pleasures, and joys. There are no tanks there, no lakes, no rivers, but he himself similarly sending forth tanks, lakes, and rivers. He is only himself, the maker and remaker of himself. On this, there are these verses. After having subdued by sleep all that belongs to the body, he, not asleep himself, looks down upon the sleeping senses. Having assumed light, he goes again to his place, the golden person, the lonely swan. Guarding with the breath, prana, life, the lower nest, the immortal moves away from the nest. That immortal one goes wherever he likes, the golden person, the lonely swan. Going up and down in the dream world, the luminous one makes manifold shapes of himself, either rejoicing in pleasant company, or laughing, or experiencing fright. People may see his playground, but him no one ever sees. Therefore they say, let no one wake a man suddenly, for it is not easy to remedy if he does not get back rightly to his body. Here some people object and say, this state of sleep is the same for him as the state of waking. For what he sees while awake, that only he sees when asleep. This is wrong. In sleep, the person himself becomes light. Janaka Vaideha said, I give you, sir, 1,000 cows. Speak on for the sake of my emancipation. Yajnavalkya said, that person, having enjoyed himself in the state of bliss, deep sleep, having moved about and seen both good and bad, hastens back again as he came to the place from which he started, the place of sleep, to dream. And whatever he may have seen in that state, he is not affected by it. For that person is not attached to anything. Janaka Vaideha said, so it is indeed, Yajnavalkya. I give you, sir, 1,000 cows. Speak on for the sake of my emancipation. Yajnavalkya said, that person, having enjoyed himself in that sleep, dream, having moved about and seen both good and bad, hastens back again as he came to the place from which he started to be awake. And whatever he may have seen in that state, he is not affected by it, for that person is not attached to anything. Janaka Vaideha said, so it is indeed, Yajnavalkya. I give you, sir, 1,000 cows. Speak on for the sake of my emancipation. Yajnavalkya said, that person, having enjoyed himself in that state of waking, having moved about and seen both good and bad, hastens back again as he came to the place from which he started, to the state of sleeping, dream. In fact, as a large fish moves along the two banks of a river, the right and the left, so does that person move along these two states, the state of sleep and the state of waking. And as a falcon or any other swift bird, after he has roamed about in the air, becomes tired, and folding his wings, comes to his resting place, so does that person hasten to that state where, when asleep, he desires no more desires, and dreams no more dreams. Now when in sleep, he feels that he is being killed or overpowered, or being chased by an elephant or falling into a well, he is imagining, because of ignorance, the same horrors which he commonly sees while awake. But when he fancies that he is, as it were, divine, or that he is, as it were, a king, or I am this whole universe, that is his highest state of being. This indeed is his true form, free from desires, free from sins, free from fear. Now, as a man, when embraced by a beloved wife, knows nothing that is without, nothing that is within. Thus, this person, when embraced by the intelligent self, knows nothing that is without, nothing that is within. This indeed is his true form, in which his wishes are fulfilled, in which the self only is his wish, in which no wish is left, free from any sorrow. Then a father is not a father, a mother not a mother, the worlds not worlds, the deities not deities, the Vedas not Vedas. Then a thief is not a thief, a killer not a killer, a pariah not a pariah, an outcast not an outcast, a monk not a monk, an ascetic not an ascetic. He is not followed by good, not followed by sin, for he has then overcome all the sorrows of the heart. And when it is said that there in deep sleep he does not see, yet he is seeing, though he, the eye, does not see. For seeing is inseparable from the seer, self. It cannot cease seeing. But there is, after all, no second, nothing else different from him that he could see. And when it is said that there in deep sleep he does not smell, yet he is smelling, though he, the nose, does not smell. For smelling is inseparable from the smeller. It cannot cease smelling. But there is, after all, no second, nothing else different from him that he could smell. And when it is said that there in deep sleep he does not taste, yet he is tasting, though he, the tongue, does not taste. For tasting is inseparable from the taster. It cannot cease tasting. But there is, after all, no second, nothing else different from him that he could taste. And when it is said that there in deep sleep he does not speak, yet he is speaking, though he, the voice organ, does not speak. For speaking is inseparable from the speaker. It cannot cease speaking. But there is, after all, no second, nothing else different from him that he could speak. And when it is said that there in deep sleep he does not hear, yet he is hearing, though he, the ear, does not hear. For hearing is inseparable from the hearer. It cannot cease hearing, but there is, after all, no second, nothing else different from him that he could hear. And when it is said that there, in deep sleep, he does not think, yet he is thinking, though he, the mind, does not think. For thinking is inseparable from the thinker. It cannot cease thinking, but there is, after all, no second, nothing else different from him that he could think. And when it is said that there in deep sleep he does not touch, yet he is touching, though he, the physique, does not touch. For touching is inseparable from the toucher, because it cannot cease touching. But there is, after all, no second, nothing else different from him that he could touch. And when it is said that there, in deep sleep, he does not know, yet he is knowing, though he, the bodily being, does not know. For knowing is inseparable from the knower. It cannot cease knowing. But there is, after all, no second, nothing else different from him that he could know. When, whether in waking or dreaming, there is another, then can one see the other, then can one smell the other, then can one speak to the other, then can one hear the other, then can one think the other, then can one touch the other, then can one know the other. An ocean it is that is one without any second. This is the Brahma world, O king. Thus did Yajnavalkya teach him. This is man's highest goal. This is his highest success. This is his highest world. This is his highest bliss. All creatures live on a small portion of that bliss. If a man is healthy, wealthy, and lord of others, possessing all that can produce humanly enjoyment, that is the highest blessing of men. Now 100 of these human blessings make one blessing of the Manas who have conquered the world. 100 blessings of the Manas who have conquered this world make one blessing in the celestial world. 100 celestial blessings make one blessing of the Devas, divines, by merit, work, sacrifice, who obtain their divinity by merit. 100 blessings of the Devas by merit make one blessing of the Devas by birth, and also offer Srotriya. Footnote: one who recites Vedic hymns after studying and understanding the Vedas. End of footnote. Who is without sin and not overcome by desire. 100 blessings of the Devas by birth make one blessing in the world of Prajapati, and also of a Srotriya who is without sin and not overcome by desire. And this is the highest blessing. This is the Brahma world, O King. Thus spake Vajravalkya. Janaka Vaideha said, I give you, sir, 1,000 cows. Speak on for the sake of my emancipation. Then Yajnavalkya was afraid, lest the king, having become full of understanding, should drive him from all his positions. And Yajnavalkya said, that person having enjoyed himself in that state of sleeping dream, having moved about and seen both good and bad, hastens back again as he came to the place from which he started, to the state of waking. Now as a heavily laden carriage moves along groaning, so does this corporeal self, mounted by the intelligent self, move along groaning as a man breathes his last. And when the body grows weak from old age or becomes weak from illness, at that time that self, after separating himself from the parts of the body, as a fruit separates from the stalk, hastens back to where it came from to give new life to another body. And as policemen, magistrates, equerries and governors wait for a king who is coming back from a journey, with food and drink saying, he comes back, here he approaches. So do all the elements wait on him who knows this, saying, that Brahman comes, here that Brahman approaches. And as policemen, magistrates, equerries and governors gather round a king who is departing, thus do all the senses, pranas, gather round the self at the time of death, when a man is thus breathing his last. Yajnavalkya continued, now when the self, having sunk into weakness, sinks as it were into unconsciousness, then those senses, pranas, gather around him, and he, taking with him those elements of light, descends into the heart. When that person in the eye turns away, then he ceases to know any forms. He has become one, they say. He does not see. He has become one, they say. He does not smell. He has become one, they say. He does not taste. He has become one, they say. He does not speak. He has become one, they say. He does not think. He has become one, they say. He does not touch. He has become one, they say. He does not know. The point of his heart becomes lighted up, and by that light the self departs, either through the eye, or through the skull, or through other places of the body. And when he thus departs, life, the vital breath, departs after him. And when life thus departs, all the other vital spirits, pranas, depart after it, He, the knowing self, is conscious, and in consciousness, he departs. Then his knowledge, work, and past experiences follow and take hold of him. And as a caterpillar, after having reached the end of a blade of grass, and after having made another approach to another blade, draws itself together towards it, so does this self, after having thrown off this body and dispelled all ignorance, and after making another approach to another body, draws himself together towards it. And as a goldsmith, taking a piece of gold, turns it into another, newer and more beautiful form, so does this self, after having thrown off this body and dispelled all ignorance, make unto himself another, newer and more beautiful form, whether it be like the Manas, or like the celestial beings, or like the divines, or like Prajapati himself, or like Brahman, or like other beings. That self is indeed Brahman, consisting of knowledge, mind, life, sight, hearing, earth, water, wind, space, light and no light, desire and no desire, anger and no anger, right and wrong, and all things. Now, as a man is like this or like that, according as he acts and according as he behaves, so will he be. A man of good acts becomes good. A man of bad acts, bad. He becomes pure by pure deeds, wicked by wicked deeds. And here they say that a person consists of desires. And as is his desire, so is his will. And as is his will, so is his deed. And whatever deed he does, so will he reap. And here there is this verse. To whatever object a man's mind is attached, to that the self goes strenuously together with his deed. And having exhausted in the other world the results of whatever deed he did here on earth, he returns again from that world, which is the temporary reward of his past deed, to this world of action. So much for the transmigrating self of the man who desires. Now about the man who does not desire. Not desiring, he is freed from desires, is satisfied in his desires, or desires the self only. His vital spirits do not depart elsewhere. Being Brahman, he goes to Brahman. On this, there is this verse. When all desires which once entered his heart are undone, then does the mortal become immortal. Then he attains Brahman. And as the slough of a snake lies on an anthill, dead and cast away, so lies this body. But that disembodied immortal spirit, prana, life, is Brahman only, is only light. Janaka Vaideha said, "Sir, I give you 1,000 cows. On this, there are these verses. The narrow old path stretching far away has been found by me. On it, sages who know Brahman move on to the celestial sphere from this world, having been freed and raised high even while living. That path, they say, is white or blue or yellow or green or red." Footnote: these colors metaphorically denote the finite experiences of seekers. The path of knowledge itself is devoid of any color or other finite characteristics. End of footnote. That path was founded by Brahman, and on it goes whoever knows Brahman, and who has done good and attained brilliance. All who worship everything other than knowledge enter into blinding darkness. Those who only delight in knowledge, footnote, formalistic knowledge, such as that which dogmatizes about Brahman or that which is contained in the ceremonial portion of the Vedas, dealing with ritual performances, various injunctions and prohibitions and so on. End of footnote. Enter, as it were, into deeper darkness. There are indeed those unblessed worlds, covered with blind darkness. Men who are ignorant and not enlightened go after death to those worlds. If a man understands the Supreme Self as, I am He, then what would he desire and what would he suffer for in the wake of the body? Whoever has found and understood the Supreme Self that has entered into this deep and dense hiding place, he indeed is the maker of everything. All the world is his. He is the world itself. While we are here, we may know this for our own good. If not, we remain ignorant, and then there is great destruction. Those who know it become immortal. Others suffer pain indeed. If a man clearly beholds this Supreme Self as the ultimate, and as the Lord of all that is and will be, then he fears no more. He who precedes time, and after whom the year revolves with the days and nights, him the divines worship as the light of lights, as the immortal giver of time to the world. He in whom the five beings, footnote, the five vital principles, radiance, breath, seeking, hearing, and consciousness or thinking, end of footnote, and the space rest, him alone I believe to be the Supreme Self. I who know, believe him to be Brahman. I who am immortal, believe him to be immortal. They who know the life of life, the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, the mind of the mind, they have comprehended the first and the only one, the Brahman. By the mind alone, it is to be realized. There is in it no diversity. He who perceives therein any diversity, he goes from death to death. This one that can never be proved is to be realized as one only. It is spotless, beyond the space, unborn, great, and constant. This is the Supreme Self. Let a wise Brahmana, after he has known him, focus his mind on him. Let him not go after many more words, for that merely wearies the tongue. This is that great unborn Supreme Self, which consists of knowledge, is surrounded by the pranas, human faculties. In the space within the heart, there reposes the ruler of all, the lord of all, the controller of all. He becomes not greater by good works, nor smaller by bad works. He is the Lord of all, the King of all things, the protector of all things. He is the bridge and the holder of all these worlds. Brahmanas seek to know him by the study of the Veda, by sacrifice, by gifts, by penance, by fasting. And he who knows him becomes a speechless sage. In pursuit of this world of Brahman only, do hermits leave their homes. Knowing this, verily, the people of old who were devoted to Brahman wished not for offspring. What shall we do with offspring, they said? We, who have this Supreme Self and this world of Brahman. And they, having risen above the desire for offspring, wealth, and these worlds, wander about as mendicants. For desire for sons is desire for wealth, and desire for wealth is desire for worlds. Both these are indeed desires only. He, the Supreme Self, can only be described as not this, not this. He is incomprehensible, for he cannot be comprehended. He is imperishable, for he cannot perish. He is unattached, for he does not attach himself. He does not suffer or feel, because he is unfettered. He who knows, he is not overcome by these two thoughts, for some reason I have done bad, or for some reason I have done good. He overcomes both, and neither what he has done nor what he has omitted to do affects him. This has been told by a verse. This eternal greatness of Brahman does not grow bigger by work, nor does it grow smaller. Let man try to find, know its trace, for having found, known it, he is not sullied by any bad deed. He, therefore, that knows it, after having become self-controlled, calm, patient, and collected, sees Supreme Self in himself, and sees all things as Supreme Self. Wickedness does not overcome him. He overcomes wickedness. Wickedness does not torment him. He burns it all up. Free from sin, free from taint, free from doubt, he becomes a true Brahmana. This is the Brahma world, O King. Thus spoke Yajnavalkya. Janaka Videha said, Sir, I give you the Videhas. Footnote, the people of Videha, Janak's subjects. End of footnote. And also myself, to be together your slaves. This great unborn Supreme Self, undecaying, undying, immortal, fearless, is indeed Brahman. Fearless is Brahman, and he who knows him becomes verily the fearless Brahman. Yajnavalkya had two wives, Maitreyi and Katyayani. Of these, Maitreyi was conversant with Brahman, but Katyayani possessed such knowledge only as women ordinarily possess. And Yajnavalkya, when he wished to get ready for another state of life, when he wished to give up the state of a householder and retire into the forest, said, Maitreyi, verily I am going away from here into the forest. Forsooth, let me make a settlement between thee and Katyayani. As a lump of salt has neither inside nor outside, but is altogether a mass of taste, thus indeed has that Supreme Self neither inside nor outside, but is altogether a mass of consciousness. And all contingent things having risen from the elements vanish again in them. When one departs, there is no more consciousness. This is what I say, O Maitreyi. Thus spoke Yajnavalkya. Then Maitreyi said, Here, sir, thou hast landed me in utter bewilderment. Indeed, I do not understand this Supreme Self. But he replied, O Maitreyi, I say nothing that is bewildering. Verily, beloved, that Supreme Self is imperishable and of an indestructible nature. For only when there is, as it were, any duality, then one sees the other, one smells the other, one tastes the other, one salutes the other, one hears the other, one perceives the other, one touches the other, one knows the other. But when the self only is all this, what should see whom? What should smell whom? What should taste whom? What should salute whom? What should hear whom? What should touch whom? What should know whom? With what should one understand him by whom indeed one understands everything? That self is only to be described as not this, not this. He is incomprehensible, for he cannot be comprehended. He is imperishable, for he cannot perish. He is unattached, for he does not attach himself. He does not suffer nor feel, because he is unfettered. How, O beloved, should he know the knower? Thus, O Maitreyi, you have been instructed. Thus far goes immortality. Having said so, Yajnavalkya went away into the forest.